Welcome to the Happy Homeschooler Podcast, a digital support group for everyone interested in a learning lifestyle. I'm your host, Melody.
I'm your co-host, Jennifer.
And I'm your co-host, Holly.
Today, we'll be discussing how to teach current events. But before we get to that, how's everyone been since last time? How about, Jennifer, you start?
I've been great. I finished up my zombie co-op class that I've been teaching, the high school class I've been doing. It's been 7 months now. So I know I've talked about it here a whole bunch, but it was our last week and it was just great. It finished up really well. We had a big zombie murder mystery party. And
I love that. That was so fun.
It was fun, but it has just been like this class has been so great. The whole year has been so wonderful. We were able to fit in every topic you can think of and the kids were engaged all year. And I've done co-op classes for a lot of years, but this year for high school, we switched it to one day a week for 4 hours. And at first it was like, oh, wow, 4 hours is kind of a long time block, but it was so good for this type of class because it was kind of a project-based learning style of a class. So it really gave us time to dig really deep into every subject. And it was just, it was such a nice year with these kids. I just loved it. So it was kind of sad to finish up, but it was exciting too.
What's going to happen next year? Do you already have an idea?
Yes.
I thought so.
So I wasn't going to teach at all because my last one's graduating, but half of these kids that I have this year are going to be coming back next year. And I just really like them. So I'm going to teach again. And I'm doing a 6 degrees of separation type class all year long. It's going to be how things connect to each other through 6 degrees. So history things, science things, all types of things. And I'm already finding so many fun resources for it. So I'm excited about that.
That's going to be a great class.
So, Holly, I know you have exciting things to tell us about. How have you been?
Très bien, merci. I just came back a couple of days ago from a week in Paris. I had wanted to go there all my life, and everything connected to make it perfect for me to go. I was pleasantly surprised to find that my French was good. I was able to ask questions and order food and... My sister doesn't speak any French. And so we would go somewhere and she'd say, what does that say? And I'd be like, oh, it says this and that. And I absolutely loved everything. We went to the Louvre and we went to a place called the Trocadero where you can see to the Eiffel Tower. That's where people get those pictures where they're holding their hand up and it looks like they're holding the Eiffel by their fingertips.
Yeah.
And all.
Yes.
And then when we went to the Eiffel, you can go in for free if you're not going to go up in it. And just be around the bottom and look at the grounds. And we did a little photo shoot there. There's some photographers wandering around. We did a photo shoot. We went to the Louvre, which was a very funny experience. So one of the things you can do in Paris is you can buy a ticket for a bus called the hop-on, hop-off bus. Mm-hmm. And it takes you all around the city. And it takes you to, you know, well-known landmarks like Notre Dame, the Tour Eiffel, it'll take you near the Louvre, to the Musée d'Orsay, all these different places. It doesn't take you right to the Louvre. So we got on the bus and we got over close and we weren't sure which direction. And we asked these people that had a pedicab. And this guy's like, oh, we take you, and practically like threw us into the pedicab. And the other guy just took off with us. And and so, you know, we had a little unexpected expense, but it was super fun. And then we got to the Louvre. The Louvre has the Mona Lisa. It does not have my favorite artists, which are Impressionists. I think those are at the Musée d'Orsay, which we didn't go to. Going to see the Mona Lisa is an experience like no other. They do not have nice lines roped off so you can go in, take a look at the painting, and take a picture.
Oh.
No. It's a big room, and on either side there are paintings that you can look at. But the roped off area to go up to see the Mona Lisa, it's just like a crush of people. It was like
free for all.
Like, wow. Yeah. Seriously. And when you get up there, you barely have a moment to look at it. And then you're pushed out of the room and the next people come in. And it's hilarious. I have a photograph I'll share with you of me taking a picture above the crowd of the painting.
Sure.
So that was funny. We went to an old cemetery where it's called Cimetière Père Lachaise. And a lot of famous people are buried there, including Jim Morrison. So we went and found his grave. I used my old skill, map reading skills, to find it. Yes. I loved everything about it. I loved speaking French. I loved hearing French. And I definitely want to go back to France.
That's exciting.
So
is your sister's living there for a while? Is that right?
Yeah, she's staying there until I think May 13th. She rented an apartment. It's really cute. It's a little tiny apartment, a loft. I think it's like 250 square feet. The shower, literally, y'all, was 9 square feet, and the bathroom was about 16 square feet. Very tiny little IKEA bathroom. A real cute little IKEA kitchen, and then a loft upstairs. And it was just, it's in a very old building. Everything in Paris is absolutely amazing because it's one of the few European cities that wasn't bombed during World War II. So there are buildings there from the 1100s. Mm-hmm. And every corner you look is some fabulous old building with the most beautiful detailed architecture you've ever seen. And everyone is even better than the last one. It's really hard to take in. The driving there is wow. Even really? By, yeah. So motorcyclists, like here, if a motorcyclist splits a lane, we're like, oh, they shouldn't be doing that. They're not supposed to be, they're supposed to stay in the lane. Motorcyclists go in between cars and in front. They just weave in and out. Wow, the man. People drive so close to each other. I'm surprised I didn't see more accidents because it's like, it's, it makes Houston look like a calm place to drive. Yeah.
Oh dear.
Yeah. It was like, wow, these people have some mad driving skills and some crazy things they do. I could have stayed. I absolutely adored it. Got to get back to France.
So happy.
Not
for
even
you.
Just awesome. To go to Paris, but just, I have a friend that lives in the southwest of France in a town called La Rochelle. And just like in Texas, where each part of Texas is different, or like in the United States, where different regions are different. France is the same way. It's the largest country in Europe. Mm-hmm. And the south of France is very different from the north, from Paris. So they all have their own culture and their own flavor. So just, you know, if you go to Paris, that's not all of France. So anyway, I'm taking up enough time. I want to know what Melody's been up
to. But we wanted to hear. we all just celebrated Easter, and we had all the family. Everybody was here except the one granddaughter who lives too far to come. And we had so much fun, and we did our crazy traditions. We've got a lot of crazy traditions, but we just had a lot of fun with them. And we stayed up way too late and played games. And it was so much fun. I don't think I took any pictures at all. Just my kids did, thank goodness. But somehow in the moment, I'm never taking pictures. I'm too focused on talking with my people. And so that was wonderful. Our main event. Just
did
got
you
everybody.
Do your golden egg?
Yes, we did. Yes, we did.
So tell
what's in
listeners
it?
What that is.
Oh,
I
the
know
golden
what it
egg.
Is,
yes, Holly knows. Well, years ago, my father-in-law brought fun back into my husband's family. They had lost their dad when they were very young. And, you know, life is hard with a mom bringing up children. So she remarried the sweetest man. And he liked to have fun. And so he decided to establish this tradition of, first, it was just Easter egg hunt because the grandkids were, you know, hunting. But he thought it would be fun to have a golden egg for the adults. And then everybody like chipped in a little bit of money, and whoever found the golden egg got whatever the pot was that year. So it's like nothing stressful, just like whatever was in your pocket. But sometimes the pot was pretty big, and he would hide it. One time he hid it like on the top of, they lived in a neighborhood and you have those light poles, and there was some kind of an electric box on top of that. And he had climbed up on a ladder and like put it way up there. We're looking everywhere. Like you're not looking up in the sky to find an egg. And so of course, after, I don't know, half an hour, 45 minutes, an hour, he finally gave some pretty good hints and someone found it. Last year and this year, I hid the egg because we were having it at our house. But then we invited extras because y'all know how it is. You have friends and you're just like, oh, yeah, come on. So we had a huge crowd and I hid the egg. But we didn't have the same egg that we used last year. And we ended up hiding like a little kid golden egg. And someone did find it and bring it to me. I was so distracted because I was playing with the grandkids. Like, we keep finding this egg. It's a kid egg. Would you, you know, take this egg because we're still looking for the golden egg. And I just said, oh, OK, fine. And after about 15 minutes, we realized, oh, that is the golden egg. So everybody's out there looking and looking and looking. And I saw them looking in some really good places that I'll remember for next
That's
time.
That's great.
But so then like the grandchild who brought it to me was like, actually, Sue said, I didn't find it. I found it sitting on this post. And so then we had to figure out who found it and put it on the post and where did they find it? And it was crazy. But I was like, well, maybe I'm not the person to hide the egg because I totally forgot.
How much was the pot this year?
Oh my goodness. There were so many of us there. I think it was like $150.
Wow.
But you know, when your family is huge and everybody's pitching in $5 or something, it doesn't take very long to get to that. And she was very sweet, the lady that actually found it. And I think she split it with the grandchild who brought it up to me to hold on to this. So we will.
Hilarious.
I had the golden egg in my pocket for a while, but I was like, oh, okay. It was just that kind of a day.
What fun.
It was so fun. And everybody just, you know, we would bring food and we eat and we eat and we eat and then played games. And people left as they needed to because some people have earlier work days the following Monday. But my husband and I stayed longer than we meant to. And then I made the mistake that often we do. Like I'm going to read a little bit in my book before I go to bed. And then I looked at the clock and it was 1 a.m. So I need to stop doing that. But it was a great day and it was a good tired the next day. And I slept really well Monday night.
That's nice.
Making those family traditions. That's one of the things about homeschool, building those traditions. And then when your kids are grown, they want to carry them on with their kids.
Yeah. So.
Okay, well, let's talk about how we approached current events in our homeschool. I'm not currently teaching anybody current events, but when we used to have printed materials. And so it's harder for those printed things to stay current. Now I'm surprised how many resources there are online. What so kind many. Of things are y'all doing?
The internet, mostly, of course.
Yeah, right.
But honestly, so my teenagers are on social media. And so they're seeing a lot of news and current events happening on there, which is how adults are seeing it too a lot now. Mm-hmm. But they're getting a lot of their news from TikTok and things like that. And it's actually, I'd say in the last couple of years, my teenagers now are much more aware of current events because of their social media interactions. It causes a problem too, because obviously they're not getting all the information and they're not getting multiple sources and it's in these little small segments, but it starts some really great conversations. So I think using social media with my teens is where the start of our current event conversations right now for the most part. But, you know, in the past I've definitely used all kinds of magazines and newspapers and watching news shows and things like that. So it's just evolved though, I think.
Me too. And then we should mention, it depends on the ages of your kids. You don't want to frighten little children by exposing them things that they can't do anything about and they're too little to know about. But the older they got, the more we really did make sure to let them know they need to be prepared for the world they're going to launch into. And so by degrees, we would introduce them to more and more ideas. But along with that, we would talk about, you know, evaluating your sources. Like you mentioned, evaluate your sources. Who mm-hmm. said that? Where did they get their information? Who funded the study? All of those kind of things. I just don't want them to only get their news from social media.
Yeah, right. I agree. But it has been a great starting point for our family anyways. But I know that when my children were younger and we were homeschooling, we were doing a lot of project-based stuff and we sometimes did unit studies and then, you know, a lot of unschooling. And I tried to pull current events into pretty much everything we were doing to make it more relevant to the kids at the time that we were learning about the subjects. I think it does not only teach kids how to navigate the world that they're going to be involved in, but it also helps them make connections that are relevant. So they want to learn more because it's something that's currently going on is more exciting to them, I think, to learn about sometimes. And that can be, it doesn't just have to be like hard news topics, but like, you know, Sports Illustrated things and stuff, you know, stuff mm-hmm. going on in the sports world, stuff going on in the arts world, anything, pop culture stuff that's current, all of that. When I was able to pull those things into our topics that we were studying would make the kids more interested in the hard lessons too, I think.
Yeah, I know when my other kids were younger, I think we got some kind of a publication, like mm-hmm. a weekly reader thing that came, and it would have news stories. But I mainly really emphasized current events more when my kids were in high school. And I didn't have a particular curriculum, but I would bring things to their attention like, oh, this thing happened or that thing happened. My kids and I had lots of discussions about copyrights and copyright laws. And even then they were like, these are kind of archaic. They don't really fit what's going on now. And Liam's interested in, like, you know, nature events, weather and things like that.
Right.
So, of course, recently we've been talking a lot about the eclipse, and then we've been having a larger discussion about how the eclipse is going to impact our lives.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, a lot of the counties in Texas where the eclipse is going to occur, they've been warning the residents, hey, we're going to have a huge influx of people. Get your groceries and stuff. Be aware, you know, you don't want to try to travel that day. Now, when I get home, my husband said, oh, the newscasters, the weather forecasters are losing their minds because they think it may be overcast.
Yeah.
And now I might not be able to see the eclipse. For younger kids, I try to make it something that they can actually connect with more.
Yeah, I agree. And participating even. Yeah.
So right before this podcast, before we got together, I was saying to him, hey, did you hear there was an earthquake in Taiwan? And we watched a video and we saw these pictures of these buildings that were quite askew.
Mm-hmm.
And we talked about what is a 7.4. And he's learned about that last year in science about the Richter scale. And we look to see the history of what earthquakes have been like there. You know, we'll probably talk more in the coming days because we've had earthquakes here in Texas very recently. And they think a lot of it's due to fracking, which is like, oh, so man can create events in the earth. You know, so when you bring a current event to your child's attention, it's not really just a one
dimensional
piece of information. You know, it can have a ripple effect, but
and it can cover all academic areas can be covered talking about current events.
Yes, it's true.
So I just try to bring it to something that makes sense that he can connect with right now. You know, we were talking about TikTok. Was TikTok going to get sold and things like that?
Right.
He doesn't really watch a lot of TikToks, but he does like the funny
he hears about
videos.
That stuff too.
Well, he can see them like YouTube. People post a bunch of little TikToks, and he likes to watch the cat videos. I'm like, you know, TikTok might be going away. Oh no, my cat videos! You know. Yeah.
I think sometimes people are a little scared away from. I don't know if it's the term current events. I think people picture that as meaning you're teaching your kids about politics or you're teaching them about scary wars and those obviously those are things that can be covered. But like you said, it's so much more than that. It does cover things like weather and natural occurrences and pop culture and sports and all of that. So current events is not just about big, scary topics. It's about things that are really, truly just happening every day in your local communities.
Sure.
And in the bigger community.
Yeah, we did actually talk recently about the terror attack that happened in Russia.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't know this while I was in France, but in response to that event in Russia, right as I was arriving the day before I went to France, France heightened their terror alert to the highest level. So when we went to go see the Eiffel Tower, some gendarmes came out with looked like semi-automatic weapons. They were patrolling around, and I was like, "Well, I guess I'm glad
there
they're there." But we didn't know, and so I was telling my son, I was like, "Hey, remember when?" Because I told him about that. He's been very interested in this whole thing with Russia and Ukraine, and so we talk about it a lot. And I was like, "Well, because of what happened, that there was this terrorist attack. Now, you know, other countries are more on the alert."
Right.
We talked about that as well. And really, sometimes your kids will direct what topics.
Yes, absolutely.
You know, they'll hear about something and they'll want to talk about it. And it's ever since Russia invaded Ukraine, this has been a big topic in my household. And we keep revisiting it because he's got a lot of questions about why this is happening. And, you know, a lot of times your kids will hear something and they'll want to know about it.
Yeah.
And that's where your current events will pop up.
Yeah, we used to have, when all of my kids were home and had dinner together, we used to have discussions at dinner about current events. And somebody would start it. One person would start with, you know, something they saw in the news or something that happened. Yeah. But it would definitely, the conversation would grow as the kids started asking questions and linking it to other things. And, you know, it would go off onto tangents, but it was all about current events.
Right. And sometimes we would do the same thing way back in the day. My husband would come home with something that he had heard, or we would start talking about it. And then I always just love the rabbit trails. That's a perfect time where, like, this is just real life learning. So does that have anything to do with this? And then they make connections that I hadn't thought of. Yeah. We're all learning together.
But this is actually what I talked about at the beginning of the show today about what I'm going to be teaching next year, the 6 degrees of separation thing. It's kind of where the concept is like, we're going to talk about things that happened in the past and connect them to things that are relevant right now, to the kids. Like, you know, we're going to talk about the Tesla car, but how it relates to something completely, what you think would be completely unrelated in the past. Like, you know, how does King Tut relate to the Tesla, you know, and we're going to figure out the steps of how it actually relates, you know, what the connections were.
Well, we saw the weekend that the Tesla Cybertruck came out. We were driving, we were just coming out off the road to the access road to get on the highway. And I was like, look at that ugly vehicle. It looked like somebody built it in their garage. And Liam says, I think that's the new Cybertruck from Tesla. I'm like, really? And I handed him my phone and I'm like, look it up and see. And we were talking about it and how much it costs and why would somebody want that? And
that's a great example of current events. Something that's happening right now.
You never know when some seemingly innocuous thing, you know, is going to trigger a great current events bunny trail.
Yeah, right. Absolutely. Yeah. And this is where being open to your kids' questions is really important for this, these kind of discussions, letting them ask you and then, and saying, oh, I don't know, let's find out. You know, that's really important, especially in current events, being open-minded on the direction that trail's going to lead you, you know?
You know, where you're going to end up. And it doesn't even have to be something in the news. Like if it's a current event, if your goat is having kids and then that leads down off on an avenue of things you hadn't planned to study, that's kind of a current event, especially if you end up calling in someone to help or you have to take. And so then you're learning all these other things you didn't expect to be learning that week. And that's another kind of current event, but still it's important.
Yeah. I mean, and in your small community that you live in, there's things going on and they all have ripple effects. Many years ago, I think it's like 12 years ago now, they exploded our bridge here. We have one bridge in our town that goes over the lake and they were building a new one. And so they had an explosion day where they were exploding the old one.
I kind of remember that.
It was super exciting. There was like a big party. They did. And we all went and watched. And but we made it like a whole lesson around that. And it was very much a community current event that we all got involved in, but we also learned so much before and afterwards. The end of the school year is in sight. As a parent with a student in high school, I know they're going to need the transcript very soon.
You can write one by hand, but it takes hours.
Or use Transcript Maker. Transcript Maker is the online service that lets you make professional high school transcripts quick as you like from the comfort of your own home.
But what about grade point average? You could fill up a notebook trying to work those out.
Transcript Maker calculates it for you. You just enter the student's grades and courses and boom, GPA.
Another computer program to figure out how to use. What if I get confused and mess something up?
Transcript Maker is super easy to use, but if you did get confused, they have a helpline to assist you and answer your questions.
What if I need help at midnight?
They have a knowledge base on their website filled with helpful articles and tutorials. Just click on help.
I'm trying to save money right now. I don't know if I can afford an expensive program.
Transcript Maker offers a 14-day free trial so you can see how you like it. And then you can get 20% off the cost of your subscription with the coupon code HAPPY. That's HAPPY in all caps.
Wow, how do I get this wonderful service?
Just go to www.transcriptmaker.com today. Transcript Maker.
Simply better transcripts.
Yeah, our main current events right now is that they're doing so much road work everywhere around us. And there'll be a sign up, oh, they're going to do this road work. And then we'll be like, okay, well, what route do we take to go home or come back? And why are they doing this? And how long is that going to take? You know, what's the effect going to be on the community? We had just had a road we couldn't go down for a long time and they opened it. I went down it 1 week and it said, you know, still the detour. And then my husband went down it the next week. He goes, the road's open. Well, that changed the way we could go to my son's basketball practice and game, which it took a lot of time less to go on the road when it opened. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, sometimes current events are super impactful.
Right.
Yes, they are.
And yeah, we try to keep track of, you know, what's going on in the community and how's it going to affect us. So mainly right now it's with our roads. How are we going to get to where we want to go?
And I think
an expedient matter.
As adults, I think part of our job in conveying current events to our kids is showing an interest ourselves. And and like you said, being aware of what's going on in your own community and in your state and in the world. And I think a lot of us go about our daily lives and sometimes just don't pay much attention to those things that are going around outside of us. But if you want to instill that in your kids, you do need to show them that you're also interested in it. And that's where also bringing up the conversations that you start because you were interested in a topic of something going on around you. And I think that I've found anyways with my kids that when we're interested in something, it does spark an interest in them too. And they go usually in a different direction than we would have gone with it. But it's a great starting point for them. Even if you're, if you are trying to teach your kids about politics or how government works or elections, showing how you interact with those systems in, you know, in your community is a really great thing to teach your kids.
One of the things I have done is do some work to try to help get people registered to vote by writing postcards that they hand out at the college campus. And because a lot of the kids, they're not, they don't know what the deadlines are. And things.
Right.
And so my son has helped me to write some of those postcards. Mm-hmm. He sees the signs I put up. And he, one year I took him to a political, like a dinner, a fundraiser dinner. And he could hear people discuss things and he had plenty of questions. And I think that's the thing is that sometimes maybe we think kids aren't ready for some of these topics. But, you know, the laws that are made, all those things locally affect all of us.
Yes.
And so it's really good, I think. I don't know, maybe my family is just a little more out there about it. But like, I've always talked to my kids about what's going on in politics and why it matters to be informed, you know, and how the decisions that some people make can change what our options are for doing certain things. You know, the same thing, like we don't live in the city limits of our town. So we have to pay a little bit more to participate in things like his basketball costs $10 more because we're not technically in the city.
In the city. Or,
but I've explained to my son that I would rather pay the $10 extra than be part of the city because the taxes would be much higher. So, you know, to explain
that. That's a deep discussion. Like,
Sometimes they're going to lead that discussion and we might have to go find some information. And sometimes we need to help bring awareness to them of how a policy or something affects us. So everybody knows that I've been the reluctant cat rescue lady.
Yeah.
Well, part of what happened in our county is they stopped taking animals into the shelter, cats particularly, if they were unowned cats. And you would say, oh, there's a cat running around, you know, come get it. They used to come get it, but now they'll come get it and they'll fix it and they'll return it. There. And so, you know, there were just a lot of cats around. So I was explaining to my son, well, you know, these cats are around and they think that's great, but there are too many of them and they need to have homes. So he was participating in that. Now, I know that you shared a lot of resources when we were talking about current events. So were some of them like subscriptions that people were,
so,
I'm sure we'll put them in the show notes.
Yeah, but we'll share them in the show notes. But I was mostly sharing free internet resources to national and international publications that have kids sections to their websites. And a lot of these have lesson plans for parents and teachers to use as well. But like PBS has a, well, PBS has a lot of kids content, but they do have a newsroom. They have PBS NewsHour Classroom, which has all kinds of great resources for parents and teachers to do lesson plans with current events, which is great because sometimes if you are trying to cover a difficult topic like a war or a terrorist attack or something like that, having resources that step you through all the details on how to teach it are helpful, I think. The New York Times has a kids section, CNN, Sports Illustrated, updated. There's a bunch I shared, but mm-hmm. most of the major news networks and publications have sections that are just for kids. And then some of them have separate ones for teenagers, because as we talked about it, you learn right. about current events at different levels, you know? So those are great resources. There are still, like, Scholastic still puts out, you know, a subscription that you can get. I think Time Magazine has a kids subscription you can still get. So there are still a few subscription services you can use for that. There's podcasts for kids news.
There sure
If you just go, I have only listened to a couple of them with my teenagers, but there's tons for young kids. And I just went and Googled, I think, current events for kids for podcasts. And there were so many that came up with all kinds of reviews talking about them. So that's a great resource, because they do it in little segments that you can listen to while you're in the car.
Oh, that is nice. We've been getting the kids Sports Illustrated. We don't know why it's coming to the house. it just shows up. Yeah, we didn't really consciously sign up for it. And sometimes my son's a little bit interested in it, because now he's into basketball and he runs and he's into parkour. He's very sporty. So it is nice when they have some things that are slanted toward kids. Mm-hmm. That can help pique the kids' interests.
Yeah. Also, I think when you are covering some harder current events, sometimes I think a lot of people want to try to, you know, protect their kids from difficult things, which I completely understand. But our kids are also seeing things about, like, for example, when COVID was going on, mm-hmm. and how to talk to your kids about COVID was kind of a difficult thing for a lot of people. Some people with their younger children just were not talking about it at all, but their lives were being affected by it still. Mm-hmm. And the kids were seeing the results of that. So I think it's good to be aware that our kids, you know, feel the effects of current events going on around them. So it's good to find a way to speak to them on their level. Mm-hmm. And you can often, if there's something big going on, like during COVID, you could Google and find resources for pre-K, you know, mm-hmm. all the way through high school, right. talking about, you know, just even simple things like, this is how you wash your hands, you know.
Mm-hmm. Right. And here is why. And
Right. So I think maybe when there is something that you're hesitant to talk about, try not to avoid covering those current events, but find the right, you know, appropriate way to approach it with your age and your child.
Sometimes there aren't any resources. So
yes.
As something's unfolding, like 9/11.
Yes.
I came home having heard something on the radio after I dropped my oldest daughter off. She was going to public school and high school at the time. Drove home horrified, came in the house. We put the TV on and then the kids were watching. And then we were like, this is probably not good.
Wow.
For the kids.
Yeah.
You know, so mm-hmm. kids, you can watch something else. But my husband and I were for hours just.
Yeah. Glued to it. Yeah.
You know, glued to it. And, you know, it was hard to explain because sometimes you don't, there are no resources at that moment to help you.
Yes, that's true. When something bad's happening. And we're seeing it all in real time now, all the time.
Right. So
we didn't have the same kind of instant social media like we do now.
Right. I always remember this great quote that Mr. Rogers gave that he said, and he said, you know, whenever there's a bad thing happening, look for the helpers. Mm-hmm. And so when there's something bad happening, you know, or where we live, we have some crazy weather and we live in a manufactured home, so we can't stay in it. Yeah. If there's like a tornado warning, and we'll just be like, we are going to go to where it's safe and there are people that can help. We always try to focus on, you know, giving young kids some reassurance that there will be help. There will be helpers. Yeah. So if you don't know what to say to your kids in the moment of some crazy event that's unfolding, you know, you can just say, well, I know I don't know all the answers, but there are people that are available to help get through this, you know.
Yeah. I think also teaching them about past events too, and how people helped and mm-hmm. how people got through them and things like that is good, because we took the kids to the 9/11 museum in New York one year, and that was an incredible experience, and it was so moving, and there were so many inspirational stories there of people who were heroic, and so the kids learned about all that. And I think when you're teaching history of tragic events, that it's important to focus on those things too, because then when there is a new event occurring, you can remind them, you know, of those things and mm-hmm. the people that were there to help.
I can remember my grandmother telling us stories of things that happened when she was younger. And for the same reason, it's like, that reminds me of when I was a young girl and this kind of thing happened. And just knowing that other people have lived through stressful times and you'll be fine. And like Holly said, let's look for the helpers. Or even, and it's fine to say, like you mentioned earlier, Jennifer, I don't know. We can find out. But we know that there are people out there helping. And like the police force and the firefighters and all those people, that's their job in an emergency to make sure everybody's safe. And so sometimes we just have to say, we'll have to find out more later. But you're always sensitive to your kids better than anybody, and you know what they need to feel safe. And so that's one of those things. Like, we do talk about current events, but not all of them.
Yeah.
We filter it based on what they can take in. But like you said, I like that you said they don't shy away from it. Just press in and find a way to explain it to them.
Yeah. And keep a conversation about just current events in general. Keep a conversation going, because if you're not doing that, if you're not talking about what's going on in your community or what's going on in the world, you know, positive and negative things, and then suddenly something bad is happening and you haven't been discussing, you know, current events at all, it's going to be confusing for your kids to suddenly have to have that discussion.
I can't even imagine a world where you don't talk about what's going on.
I think all three of us do this a lot with our own children, but I know some people don't.
Well, I know my younger children heard more things because we were talking with the older ones. So trickle down, the younger ones heard things at an earlier age, you know, eavesdropping, kids listen, adults conversation, you turn around, it's like, what are you doing in here? I thought you were outside playing. And so, you know, you just learn how to have those conversations with them, reassure them. And it's just part of learning how to manage life.
It's been good in the co-ops, the high school co-ops that I've taught over the years. Current events have been really good to include. We've done a lot of like debate topics, and that's a great way for kids to, especially older, the teenagers, to start to form their own opinions on things and learning how to research different sides of issues and things like that. So there's so many great learning opportunities when you do include current events.
Yeah, there's some adults on Facebook that could use some of that.
Yeah, that's right.
I've had some friends. I have a wide variety of friends. And sometimes when I post something and I'll look at that and think, I'm going to need to go look into this. And then I'll be like, that's not actually accurate. So it's really important to know where to try to find the most unbiased sources of information, because you can curate your opinions
and
have all that sent to you, but that's not necessarily the way we should get our information.
One of the lessons we did last year in my co-op, I'll see if I can find this resource and share it again, but it was like a series of fake websites that were set up for kids to go determine what was real and what was fake. And it was so good because they were very convincing, you know, and then it would teach you, oh, but here's how you could have known that this was a fake website, you know? Having some good media literacy skills are important for adults, obviously, but also being able to teach those to the kids early on so that they know, you know, you need multiple sources. You need to check your sources. You need to be aware that things may not be what they look like, you know,
well, especially with AI now. I was just going to say, there was a quiz that I think the Washington Post did. Can you tell if something is AI generated, not like a fake, is fake? And it was really, it made you really start to evaluate more deeply the things that you see.
Yeah.
Yeah, we just had a conversation about that. I'm not sure what we were watching. It was a movie, but it was so, it looked real. And then we were like, well, you know, that's all computer generated. And so now it's like, seeing isn't believing, because you have to be sure. You know, I was like, I saw that, but I don't think it was real. So we've had those conversations. Like, all my kids are older, but the grandkids are having to deal with that now. And then that, of course, like runs over into language, because if you're writing papers, you have to have your sources. And and so which sites do you trust, and which ones do you know are biased? And it's fine if you know they're biased, because then you just learn to recognize it. Mm-hmm. And then find something on the other side and read both sides. And
another great thing to do with your older kids, too, is to have them read or watch news from other countries, because they have a totally different perspective on events than we do. So if you look at any kind of worldwide event that's going on and look at our United States news coverage and then go watch news coverage from other countries and see the difference. And that's very interesting.
Yeah, very good. I know the BBC has a kid-friendly tab.
Yeah.
It's good to, because it's, like you said, a completely different perspective. And then we were talking with the kids once about keeping a journal. It's like, here are all the things that are current events right now. But what actually ends up in the history books is such a small portion of what's really going on all around us, all over the country, all over the world. And just as a way to realize, like, if we don't write down our thoughts and the reasons and things like that, then in the future, no one's going to know why you made certain choices. And so watching the news with that in mind became a little bit different. They would also see something that was happening in another place of the world and then want to know more about it. And so it was like, it could be a jumping board for
brings in all those geography skills and all kinds of stuff happening. Yeah.
And cultural studies, and why would they do this? It's like over there, they have different ideas or they have a different way of approaching it. And so current events can be really a fun way to learn with your family, because the discussion that goes along with it is one of the most important parts. Here at the end of our podcast, we like to answer a big question. Jennifer, what's our big question for today?
Today's big question is from R, who asks, how much are kids supposed to sleep? I'm a new homeschooler and my son routinely sleeps for 10 plus hours. Is this normal? Should I take him to a sleep clinic?
Well, depending on how old he is.
How old ages, is he? Right?
Yeah. I was like, how old is he?
My 11 and a half year old has all of a sudden started sleeping quite a bit.
Yeah.
And I'll let him sleep to a certain point, and then I'm like, you got to get up. And I'll go in and his room, darkening curtains. I'll open his curtain and I'll be like, time to get up, time to wake up and greet the day, you know, and he'll come out. They need a lot of sleep when they're in that growth part.
They definitely do. And teenagers sleep a lot. But when people first start homeschooling, I think that this is a question that comes up a lot, because prior to homeschooling, you probably have like a real regular schedule and bedtimes and wake up times, but you don't necessarily have to have that same schedule or even a schedule at all. Because we've talked about, like, I know homeschoolers who stay up all night and sleep all day. And so it's really what works for your family and that takes some adjustment. And then within that routine that you establish homeschooling, then you can kind of figure out how much sleep they really need within there. But the teenagers are definitely sleeping a lot of hours.
A lot more, right. Well, it's like, you know, when they're babies and they're growing and they're sleeping so much, teenagers go through that same thing.
Yeah.
Lots of different things going on. But I would always be amazed. We just shifted our routine to accommodate their need to sleep in a little bit later. And it was strange for me to go to bed while somebody was still awake. That was an adjustment for me. Like, they're just still awake.
I've given up on that. I go to sleep before everyone in my house.
I'm still usually the last person to go to bed and the first person to get up. Yeah. I got in from France. My flight arrived at 9. It's a bit of a drive from the airport from Austin to where we live. And then, you know, we debriefed and chit-chatted and I handed out some little gifties and my son went off to bed and my husband went off to bed. And I think I went to bed about 1:30 and woke up the next morning and they were still asleep. And I was like, you know, I just came from across the ocean.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, I worked in the morning when my other kids were teenagers.
Yeah.
So that worked out well. They weren't going to get up anyway.
Right. My youngest,
I got home, they were up and ready to start school.
My youngest is 16 and he usually normally sleeps till like 11 every day. And I'm okay with that because with the schedule that we have, it works fine, you know, and he's up pretty late. So I think learning how to navigate new schedules is one of those things that comes along with homeschooling.
Right. Mm-hmm. Well, especially when you don't have a bell ringing or you're trying to get your kiddo on the bus or be at someplace at a certain time, it's so different. But
yeah.
You know, my husband, we ate breakfast together before he left for work. So I was the one getting the kids up and they got used to it. Mm-hmm. We got up at 7, we had our routine, but then we would finish pretty early in the day, which means they had a long afternoon to do pretty much whatever. And then I did want the little ones to fall asleep a little bit early. It's like, I need a minute. But I would try to at least have a few minutes before the kids got up. But some of those kids were always, as soon as they hear anything going on, like pop out of bed. It's like, I just need a moment.
Yeah. I also think for those older teenagers, it's good for them to learn some of the natural consequences on their own and learn how to start regulating their own sleep. Because certainly when they leave the house, they're not going to be having you there to tell them when they need to go to bed and when they need to wake up. And they need to learn how to like recognize, oh, I need to get up early tomorrow, so I should get to bed earlier. And you need to kind of give them, as they get older, a chance to do that on their own and learn about that. that.
Yeah, once you start doing things like outside classes where you have to comply, my kids learned that when we started doing the academy.
Yeah.
Sometimes they stayed up way too late and we'd be driving in and they'd be
like,
they'd sleep in the car after, you know, the whole full day and be like, why are y'all sleeping? Well, I stayed up late.
Right.
Maybe you might want to make a different decision.
Yeah.
It's something that's fluid. You know, that sleeping
thing. Yeah.
Before we go, we want to leave you with a few reminders.
The next SAT is May 4th. The registration deadline is April 19th, and the late registration is April 23rd. So you still have plenty of time to study.
We wouldn't have a podcast without our listeners' support, and you can give us even more support by leaving us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts and sharing new episodes on social media.
Remember that you can get 20% off the cost of your Transcript Maker subscription with our exclusive coupon code HAPPY. That's HAPPY in all caps.
If you want to send us a big question of your own, you can email us at happyhomeschoolpod@gmail.com. And you can find us on Facebook and Instagram at Happy Homeschool Pod.
If you want to learn more about anything we discussed today, check the show notes in the episode description or go to our website at www.happyhomeschoolerpodcast.com.
Next episode, we'll be discussing how to homeschool a big family. Thank you for joining us today. I'm Melody.
I'm Jennifer.
And I'm Holly.
Happy homeschooling. Thank you for listening to the Happy Homeschooler Podcast, a Transcript Maker production. I'm your host, Melody Gillum. My co-hosts are Jennifer Jones and Holly Williams Erbach. This podcast is produced by Matthew Bass and edited by Nora Williams. Our logo is by Nora Williams, and our music is by the great Pangolin. You can find more of her work on YouTube and Twitter at Kailey Wins. That's K-A-I-L-E-Y Wins.
Transcript Maker offers a 14-day free trial. I'm sorry, but I'm like, I have to answer all these questions. Okay.
Well, you know all those answers.